I'm going to be talking today about the small RNA, microRNA network and the bioenergy grasses, and I'll be focusing on Miscanthus giganteus as our the first crop we worked on so far, but we are have more experiments on switchgrass and berericordate grass and others. So since the discovery of small RNA, things really has changed very, very dramatically, and small RNA now making a huge difference in the regulatory network. And we know there are some papers that published recently that where you can really modify the phenotype by just overexpressing some of the small RNA. And there was a paper published last month in Plant Cell where they completely knocked down the flowering in maize and were able to increase the biomass of maize because they expressed one of the microRNA. So I look at the microRNA and the small RNA in general as like a part of the central dogma. So we know that genome gives mRNA and is translated into protein, which makes a phenotype. But now we have other molecules that we are identifying that expressed and coming from the genome, and they're really very important and have a major effect in the development of any trait or any phenotype. We have the small RNA, which I'll be talking about today. We have also the small ORF RNA, which gives rise to a small protein, and this protein also goes back and modifies the genome. And the three molecules that I'll be talking about today are the mRNA, the small RNA, and the cmRNA. And the cmRNA, which is the cleavage product of the mRNA after a microRNA or siRNA attack a particular messenger mRNA, it cleaved into two pieces. And I sequence one of these pieces to as an evidence for the interaction between the microRNA or siRNA and the target gene. The outline of my talk will go as this. I will first give an introduction about the small RNA biogenesis pathway and mode of actions. And then the objective of my research, I will show some novel microRNA and microRNA nodes in Miscanthus giganteus. I will also show the spatial and the transient expression pattern of the Miscanthus microRNAs. I will also show some of the biomass-related microRNAs, microRNA nodes, and the preliminary Miscanthus regulatory network based on the small RNA. And I will show some also because we mostly know that, or it's been reported many times that small RNA in general regulates mostly transcription of factors, and that's really true. But there are some metabolic genes that we have seen in some papers and in our data being regulated by small RNA. So I will show some of those as well. Here is the common pathway in plants that we know so far, that there are four different types of a small RNA. We have the microRNA, the TAS or the transacting small interference RNA. We have the NAT siRNA, which is the natural antisense small interference RNA. We have the heterochromatin siRNA. The common pathway, I mean, the most common part is the first one, which if you have a gene, like part of your DNA or the DNA of the plant you're studying, we're using some of the RNA-dependent RNA polymerase, this gene is transcribed, and it makes a foldback structure similar to this. This is kind of the standard structure of plant microRNAs. And using a complex of some enzymes, including the dicer, which is RNA-independent RNA polymerase as well, that dicer goes and identifies specific region here based on some criteria and release a doublex like this microRNA doublex, which have one strand is destined to be the microRNA and the other is destined to be the microRNA star, which we have no idea what is the function of the microRNA star. Some people say it just gets degraded, but I personally don't believe that. And you have this doublex, once again, is loaded into a RISC complex, which invariably contains one of the argonaut genes. And this siRNA guides the argonaut to the target mRNA and cleave it into two pieces, as you see. And this is one of the pieces that I sequence, which we call it the cmRNA. In some papers, people call it degradome. So we like to be more specific because degradome can include any degradation product for your mRNA. This is the common pathway, but that's not the only one. We have siRNA, which basically one of these mRNA can go and trigger the amplification of your gene, making a double strand as you see like that, and this is cleaved or cleaved at specific distance, equal distance, exactly 21 base, using this complex, which has the dicer 4, DCL4 in this complex, and produces this so many TASI RNA, and those also get loaded into the REST complex, which has the Argonaut 7, and go ahead and do the job in the same manner again. This is not only the only one. Also, you can get something like that where you have two genes or exist in the genome into two opposite direction. And if this happens, they create some here in some region, double-stranded RNA. When this happens, this double-stranded RNA is recognized by the Argonaut and then cleaved here by this complex, the dicer complex, and cleaved. And this one here goes loaded into Argonaut and then cleaved the target gene. The target gene gets again amplified, making another duplex here. And then a dicer comes again and cleaves this into multiple regions and multiple NAT siRNA and gets loaded again in Argonaut. This particular one, we don't know which Argonaut really carries this natural antisense RNA and go ahead and carry them to or guide them to the target gene. So that's something we don't know. Similarly, there is another one. It's called heterochromatin. And in this case, you have two hetero siRNA duplex, cleaved or released from heterochromatin and then loaded in Argonaut 4 and then goes again loaded to the target and produces that. And they go back to the DNA and cause a methylation that we see. And that's what most people talk about, the role of a small RNA in the epigenetics or in the methylation of your DNA. The objective of my research, based on the literature or based on what we see in our data, we know that, or we believe that there is like a time and space specific small RNA regulatory network. And we are trying to really understand this regulatory network in our system and try to correlate this network to the phenotype, hoping that one day we'll be able to design or modify our bioenergy crop with improved biomass quality and quantity. And one thing that we really know now from sure in Arabidopsis and in maize, there has been shown that several microRNA nodes are controlling the transition or the phase transition, the developmental phase transition, as I will show this later on in my talk. So the overall goal here from all the bioenergy crops that we are working on, Kansas switchgrass, prairie cordygrass, we are trying to study the microRNA in different tissues, different developmental time point. We need to capture both the space and the time dependent expression of the microRNA and their target genes. So what we are doing to do that is we're taking a high throughput sequencing approach. So we basically sequence everything. So we use Solexa sequencing. So we sequence from different organ, different tissue, different time point. And what we sequence really, we extract from any sample that we collect, we extract total RNA. From this sample, the same sample, we extract or we sequence mRNA, mRNA-seq data. We sequence small RNA-seq data, and we sequence the cmRNA, which is also we think it's very important to sequence from the same sample to be able to map it back to your gene to confirm any predicted interaction between your microRNA and your target gene. So that's the flow of our work. We get the mRNA-seq data. We do assemble the transcriptome. We do de novo assembly for that. We do the transcription profiling. And from the small RNA, we kind of classify them, the small RNA, into different categories and do small RNA profiling and then map back all the small RNA to the mRNA to identify the potential targets and then get the cmRNA, which basically the Argonaut cleaved mRNA, take them back and put them in this map to know, identify from which interaction we have cmRNA product as a validation for our prediction. So, and this, finally, we identify some nodes, what we call them nodes, which is basically interaction between microRNA and target, and those will be our validated nodes for our network. And here is a just simple explanation for how the cmRNA, how it works. You have your target gene, and it's attacked by the ARGUNET guided by the microRNA or the siRNA, and it's cleaved here. When it's cleaved, it creates pieces like that that has 5 monophosphate at the 5 prime region, and by using this idea, we ligate adapters here and sequence all these molecules in the cell at the same time. When we map back this cmRNA to the target gene, usually you would expect, if that gene was actually cleaved by mRNA or by siRNA, you would expect that this read here, or this cluster of reads, is the most abundant comparing to any reads that coming from random degradation to your target gene. And that's what we call it, the target blot. When we do that, we do the target blot to validate our results. So here I'm going to show some of the novel microRNAs that we identified and the microRNA nodes. Before that, I'll show you that the composition of the miscancerging and TS transcriptome. What we did in this part of the project, and I'll be talking about today, includes inflorescence, miscancers, inflorescence, rhizome, includes leaves, includes pre-flowering stem, post-flowering stem, shoot apex, and sub-shoot apex. That are like the 7 tissues and time points that we sequence in this part of the project. When you look here, you see the distribution of the small RNA classes. So far, we know functions for the 21, the 22, the 23, 24. We know those. But we didn't know anything about the rest of those, really. So they might have some function, and people will discover one day, but so far we just focus on those. What's interesting here, you see this peak, which really refers to the inflorescence. You can see the inflorescence contains 2 folds of the siRNA 21 nucleotide, or the microRNA, basically, comparing to any other tissue in the plant. So in inflorescence, there are two folds of microRNA expressed in this particular tissue comparing to any other tissue in the blend. What's also interesting here, if you look at this blue line here, there is equal number or equal level of 21 and 22 nucleotide small RNA in the stem, or in the actually the pre-flowering stem, which is like a developing tissue. Here in the 24 nucleotide, you have in the the apex tissue and sub-apex are really highly enriched with the 24 nucleotide. Back to our biogenesis pathway, microRNA mainly 21 nucleotide, siRNA mostly 24 nucleotide. So if you look at this, you will find that, okay, in the developing tissue, or the like apex and sub-apex, you have mostly 24 nucleotide are expressed. In the developed tissues, like inflorescence, leaf, rhizomes, you have mostly of 21 nucleotide are expressed in this. So in the overall, from these 7 tissues, we have about 9 million unique small RNA sequence signatures. And unique signatures doesn't mean unique reads. It's unique signature, and each one of those could have been expressed more than 100,000 times. So basically, if you add all those with redundancy, we have more than, if I remember right, 30 million small RNA reads from these 7 tissues. So this number seems to be very big, and I don't know how many thousand years can take us to really know what these 9 million reads are doing in the plant. Here is our new novel families from since we don't have a miscancer genome, really, it's very difficult to predict novel microRNAs. So because there is a structural dimension to this, to be able to say, okay, I have a new microRNA, you need to show the fold-back structure for this microRNA. What we did to do that, we sequenced some of the miscancer genome. We did about 40x coverage for the miscancer genome and did like proto-assembly for this to be able to do this thing for some other reasons as well. But we also think that since the microRNA are really characterized by being conserved across species, some of them are really highly conserved. We see them in every single plant, like microRNA 156 and 172. Some of them are really, really newly born in the species after diversion from the closest relative. So we analyzed our data in reference to sorghum, maize, and rice genome. Sorghum, because it's basically the closest grass to our miscanthus, and we showed in our genome biology paper that there is a high similarity in the transcriptome and genomic region between sorghum and Miss Kansas. So we analyze, and Bryce, of course, the most and the best annotated plant genome that we know of so far, and maize also because it's one of the relative to Miss Kansas and one of the potential biofuel crops, as they say. So overall, we identified about 153 new microRNA family. We also identified 100 orthologs of previously annotated microRNAs from MERBase, actually. And this results based on MERBase 16, version 16. I believe they are coming with version 17 soon. So if you look at this Venn diagram, it shows the conservation of the newly identified microRNA between Miss Kansas and different species. Just a quick look here, you see that how many new microRNA are conserved between Miss Kansas and sorghum, and how many between Miss Kansas and maize, and how many between Miss Kansas and rice only. The thing is, those microRNA are actually exist in those in the genomes of these three species. But when you go to their RNA-seq data or a small RNA-seq data or their catalog of mRNA, you don't see these microRNAs. So the question is, did they escape them for some reason? They didn't sample enough to be able to capture this microRNA, or this microRNA actually structurally exists in the genome, but they are not expressed, and that's why they weren't able to capture this small RNA in their analysis. Here are the foldback structure or the predicted foldback structure for some of the new microRNA, and this is one of our new microRNA that I will show some results about later on in the talk. And if you count the number of blocks and the architecture of this foldback structure between the context, the Miss Kansas context, which is genomic context, Miss Kansas Estes, which actually assembled based on RNA-seq data, and you have here from the sorghum, I believe so, two different loci for the same microRNA in sorghum, actually, show you how they are conserved in different genomes as another level of validation for our data. When I mention, I will say this word a lot here, microRNA node, which microRNA node is basically it's a representation of the interaction between a microRNA and target. But this node is not as simple as it seems like that. It could be one microRNA targeting multiple genes. And it could be also one gene targeted by multiple microRNAs. And we'll show this what we call the double cleavage of the microRNA target. So basically, we predicted about 824 different nodes in Miss Kansas small RNA, mRNA transcriptome, interactions between those. Using our degradome or our cmRNA data, we were able to validate about 265 so far from this results. So for a total of 260 microRNAs, we predicted 824 nodes, which interactions with mRNA, and we validated about 265 of these nodes. And when you look, one level of the validation of our data is to look at the expression correlation between microRNA and their target. Because this is a negative relationship, you would expect that when you have a microRNA like upregulated, you should expect the target to be downregulated. But that's not as simple as it looks, because the gene also is under the effect of other regulatory elements like transcription factor, repressors, and other molecules in the gene can affect the expression of the gene. But in this 265, right, validated interactions, if you look at the normal distribution curve of this, the expression correlation of these bears, that's how the data should look like if they were normally distributed. But in the actual data here, you see that there is shift towards the negative correlation between the microRNA and their target. And this is really said in a global way that we have a negative correlation between microRNA and their target in the tissue that we studied. So as I was explaining, that the node can be 1-to-1 or can be 2-to-1, and the 2-to-1 really is making things more complicated, and we are working very hard on this part because we know this is one of the missing part in the whole game in the literature, because once they found a gene targeted by multiple microRNA, most people skip that and want to just look at the simple way, which I would understand why they do that. So there is an example of 1-to-1. You see how this is the one of our new microRNAs, and it's targeting the it's protein kinase WNEK1. It's one of the protein kinases, and you can see here the blue line represents our microRNA, and the red bars represents the target gene. The expression also in these axes, as color-coded, and you see that when you have this microRNA highly expressed, most of the genes are completely like down-regulated by this gene. So another example which shows the 2-to-1 is this, which is my favorite example. You have the microRNA 26 and microRNA 1-108, and these are all novel microRNAs. They target one of the serine kinase genes, and you see the correlation coefficient here on the negative bar. And you see also they both, when they are both are regulated, the target gene are down-regulated and vice versa. And one explanation for the double targeting is it is very possible that a particular gene can be regulated by different microRNAs in different tissues or at different time points, as I will show later for this one. So this leads us to the idea of double cleavage of the microRNA, how much of our microRNA nodes are really double nodes and how much are single nodes and how this makes things really complicated to us. But I'm going to show a detailed example here to show the double cleavage here. So you have the SKS2 cover ion binding, and we found that this particular gene has two recognition sites. Site 1, which is for the microRNA 164. microRNA 164, for those who don't know, one of the most interesting microRNAs in plant, and it's included in many phenomena or phase transition, especially in senescence, and there are a lot of papers about that. And microRNA 8, which one of the new microRNA that we identified in our study, they have two different recognition sites, and this is the degradome cluster that we identified from our cmRNA, mapped exactly to the predicted cleavage site of this microRNA. And here in this case, you see only we identified this read or this degradome cluster only in the leaf tissue, so we didn't see it in any other tissue, which means that this particular gene was targeted by microRNA 164 in leaves only, not in other tissue. But when you go to other tissues here, you see that degradome read, we found it in leaf, inflorescence, in apex, and subapex, which means also that particular microRNA has a broader function and work in multiple tissue comparing to 164, which really makes a lot of sense if we know what is the function of 164 and its role in the phase transition in plants. There's another example, and I choose also one of the, this is microRNA 156, and also microRNA 156 is very important in phase transition and plays a major role in the transition from juvenile to adult phase in Arabidopsis and in rice and in maize as well. And it's been known that micro 156 attacks or regulates SBL promoters. And here what we show that microRNA 156 attacks two orthologs or two homologs of the SBL, and at the same time, microRNA 1529 attacks the same two genes as well. Each one of those has its own recognition site, and besides that, you have the microRNA 156 has another target gene which is of unknown function, for us at least, and it's in other tissues, exactly, it's basically in the plant. We haven't seen that those two genes or two microRNAs working with each other in the same tissue, at least in our data or in the data that we have. So we see them that they have different mechanisms, or they target the genes in different tissues at and in different time points, basically. So besides that, besides identifying novel microRNA nodes and microRNA targets and how those can be related to the function of our of plant development, we also tried, as I was referring, that the goal of this is to be able to construct microRNA network. So we needed to know the expression profile of every microRNA we have and how this microRNA is expressed in different tissue. So we developed a spatial and transient expression of microRNA in different tissue, as I'll show now. As you can see here, this is just a regular heat map showing the regulation of the microRNA according to this bar here. And we divided our data into two different experiments. The first one has the inflorescence and rhizome, and the expression was analyzed in reference to leaf, but considering leaf is the most mature organ in the plant at this time. And here you see in this bar here, I don't know how to use this, this one here shows the expression in the leaf in RBKM values. But here is relative to the expression in leaf here. And the same thing here is the apex, subapex, and stem. were like the pre-flowering stem, all were analyzed in relative to the post-flowering stem as well. And the same thing here. And these two small heat maps are for all the microRNA that were absent in leaf and microRNA were absent in the stem, which is the two reference points we used in this analysis, because if they don't have the microRNA, we can do relative analysis because it will be zero, basically. You can do differential expression relative to zero. So we separated them in this way, and they show also some specific clusters of the microRNA. I'm just going to highlight some of the clusters that we now, from each one of those clusters, we picked some microRNA that we are studying and trying to express it in model system to see how this will affect the final phenotype of the plant. From each one of those clusters, as you can see, some of them are only expressed in one tissue, some of them are expressed in multiple tissues, so we are working on this right now. But this is really important for us. Down the stream, when we are constructing the regulatory network, we need to know those because, as I said, it's not only microRNA regulates gene. There are also other regulators like promoters and repressors plays major role in regulating gene, so we need to have this into account as well. So here is another example of this regulation or this network. This is the ERF13, which is an ethylene responsive factor, and ethylene pathway with the desmoic acid pathway are the major pathway in senescence. And we know that we have now microRNA that targets ERF13, and it seems for us to be a mechanism to delay senescence if it's important, if you need to delay those. We have another, this is another example which is also involved in the circadian rhythm, and it's, I believe it's the serine protein kinase as well, and you can see how it's downregulated when the microRNA is upregulated and how it's downregulated when the target gene is upregulated, basically. And you can see here the tissue specificity. For example, here the microRNA was not expressed in tissue at all. Sorry, the gene was not really expressed in leaf at all, while the microRNA was at its highest peak. Comparing to the inflorescence, you see the gene at the highest peak and the microRNA is going down, right? So just to show how this information are important for us to construct the regulatory network and to identify nodes that we will be using to modify the quantities and quality of the biomass in the, all the potential biofuel crops. So I'm going to show a few microRNA that show is really importance for the biomass. One of those is my microRNA 3, which I showed the foldback structure for it at the very first slide. Here is the foldback structure for this microRNA, and that thing, the part that highlighted was red, represents the mature sequence for this microRNA, and this goes and attack the expansin 26A subunit, and cleave it at the position to 1061 and produce this target blot. When we do this, you see that the degradation product or the cleavage product is the highest comparing to all other degradation product mapped to the same gene to confirm that we just have captured the right cleavage product. And in this case here, you see that microRNA was expressed in the inflorescence stem and sub-apex and the mature stem, which is the post-flowering stem. Basically, in more mature tissues and organs, which makes sense because expansin is actually a major gene in the cell wall development. When you have developing cells, you need expansin to be able to expand the cell wall, basically. So if you have developed cells already, then you really don't need expansin to be active at this time. Here is another example, which is the microRNA 370B. Okay, and then microRNA 370B is one of the major microRNA and targeting actin 12, and you see the distribution of the cleavage product for this microRNA, and also actin 12 is one of the very important microRNAs in the development. Another one for the microRNA, which is the lacase gene, actually is important in the lignin biosynthesis, and we found evidence for that microRNA target many of the lacase genes. And at least four of them, the dotted blot, the dotted lines, those are all targets for the lacase gene. So there was one study that I wanted to refer to with people used knockdown the 4CL1 in poplar and were able to reduce the lignin ratio by 45% and increase the growth rate by 15%, just knocking down the 4CL. gene, and I think better strategy to be to use the microRNA 397 to modify the lacase without making any negative effect in the phenylpropanoid pathway, because the 4CL is a major gene in the phenylpropanoid pathway. So here is one of the most famous nodes in plants now for the microRNA nodes, which is, has the microRNA SBL 156 and SBL and microRNA 172 and AB2. Basically, in older leaves, you have microRNA 172 upregulated. In younger leaves, you have microRNA 152 is upregulated. When microRNA 152 gets downregulated, it increases 172 because 172 really, and when 172 increases, it decreases AB2, which is the target of 172, and it promotes the transition from juvenile to adult phase. And I'm showing this because there are some questions about this model, because we don't know what microRNA also, what other genes that microRNA 156 regulate, what other genes that microRNA 172 regulates, and what gives the signal for microRNA 156 to start going down, and what gives the signals for microRNA 172 to start going up to make the transition from juvenile to adult phase. And that's what we are hoping to answer from constructing the regulatory network by identifying all the possible interaction for a specific microRNA. Here is our preliminary microRNA network for the miscanses, and doesn't mean anything, of course, but I will take sub note from that and show it to you, which includes microRNA 172 in different tissues, and the colors refer to the function. The octagonal refers to the microRNA, cycles refer to the target. You look at this in different species, Arabidopsis, only 172 has 5 targets, while in grapevine, they have about 15 different targets as well, which really, it seems to have a kind of correlation with the genome size as well. So also not only the transcription factor, we have identified microRNA nodes that are active in the regulatory pathways, and here is the starch and sucrose metabolism. All the genes that we, in the red boxes, we identified microRNA that potentially targeting these genes, and we have evidences for, the regulation of these genes. Here is the fatty acid metabolism. I'm sorry, I'm speaking very fast because she stood up, so I have to finish. So here is the fatty acid metabolism, and we have also two major genes that we know that they are under the regulation of some microRNAs. And the directions of our research, we need to really finish the construction of the network, and we are now expanding this work to include some other bioenergy crops and some other tissues like switchgrass, berry cordgrass. We're also looking at the artificial polyploidies that we developed in Miscanthus sinensis, and we have duplicated chromosome types from those, and we are looking to see what microRNA involved in the development of the Miscanthus, which is the triploid gigantic plant. And we are also looking at the small RNA in general network. The final goal is we be able to identify some nodes to use to modify the quality and the quantity of the biomass in the bioenergy crop. I thank the EBI and DOE. We have a grant from the DOE to study the small RNA networks in plants and biofuel plants, basically. I thank Steve Moose and Matt Hudson and Chris Austin and all the organizers, and thank you so much for all of you. That's how I work. No. When we have the total mRNA, we sequence mRNA normally. We enrich for mRNA. But for the small RNA, we enrich for the small RNA. We run them in acrylamide gel and cut the range from 15 to 33 nucleotide and do that. Right. Okay. Well, that's very RNA degradation, when you move it back to the transcriptome or to the genome, will not make full back structure because it's coming just from RNA degradation. So when we have that, first we filter to the tRNA database. We filter anything that maps to those and to the repeat database, basically. But if you have any concern about degradation, for us to confirm microRNA, it has to make the full back structure. So if this RNA is coming from a degradation product, which is not microRNA, when you fold it back, it will not make the fold back structure that has the characteristics of the microRNA, so you will not consider it anyhow. Okay?
I'm just going to ask a general question. What's the stability
Well, we know that microRNA are really very stable because we were able to put them in artificial media and feed, for example, one of the other projects we work at in the yellow sugarcane aphid. We synthesize this microRNA and put them in artificial media and feed the aphid on them under different different condition as well. But in the cell, I think microRNA is very stable unless they are degraded because they have some protection, some methylation at the 5 prime, and they have CAB at the 3 prime. And as long as they are not attacked by any degradation enzyme, as long as they have this 3 prime methyl group and the CAB at the 5 prime, they will not be attacked by any degradation enzyme. Once they've done their job, there is another mechanism to remove this methyl group and make them available to the degradation enzyme.
Now, let's just talk about the level of expression of these different microRNAs. Again, cold, light, heat, dark, that sort of thing. Aren't you going to get different profiles under different environments?
Well, of course you will get those, but that's part of the experiment. We need to know those. We will have to do, if you're interested in knowing the micro network under environmental condition, basically, then you'll have to do that. But if we want to do it in the developmental context, we run the whole experiment in the greenhouse, and we consider those are just their expression in the greenhouse environment. Okay, thank you.